Please turn to Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. C.S. Lewis stated that Psalm 19 is the greatest poem in the Psalms, and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. It is about the declaration of nature and the Word of God. David contemplates the skies, the scriptures, and the soul. The stars reveal the glory of God, the scriptures, his greatness, and the soul reveals his grace. Spurgeon said, "He is wisest who reads the world book and the word book as two volumes of the same work, and feels concerning them. My father wrote them both." Psalm 19 begins with the Creator and ends with the Redeemer. Churches for many years have read this psalm on Christmas Day, when the Sun, S-U-N, of righteousness came into the world. This is truly a wonderful chapter that will yield wonderful insights about God's creation and the Word of God. First of all, we find that this declaration, it is consistent. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. The tense of the Hebrew verbs, the heavens continually declare the glory of God, and the firmament continually shows his handiwork. Night after night and day after day, they reveal the glory of God. God is consistent in his message to the world and in who he is. That message we find all throughout the scripture. For I am the Lord, I change not. The consistency of God's message and the consistency of God. For I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The consistency of God. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. God is the same. He is consistent. David says that the heavens and the firmament uttereth speech. The word uttereth is from the Hebrew word noba, which means to gush forth, to pour out, or to bubble up like a spring. Gush forth, pour out, bubble up like a spring. The heavens declare God's glory in abundance, like the water that rolls over Niagara Falls. His glory, his wisdom, his handiwork bubble forth from every place in the universe. The sky is not only speaking of God's glory, it is shouting it loudly. It's gushing forth, it's pouring out, it's bubbling up like a spring. God's glory shouting. The stars lying like diamonds on the black velvet of darkness speak of the glory of God. They are but dewdrops on the lawn of our Heavenly Father's house. The sun in its majesty and power is but a porch light in the house made without hands. It gushes forth, pours out, bubbles up. The heavens point to God. The sun is glorious, but it only fulfills a function and follows a course prescribed by its creator. These words in this chapter do not deify creation, as mankind tries to do. They praise the Lord. They don't deify creation. They lift up the creator. God in his grace and his mercy consistently proclaim his glory to mankind through his handiwork. He wants man to know him, but man is blind and deaf towards God's message. Why? Because we tend to be distracted from the glory of God. Distracted from the glory of God. The glory of God is gushing forth, pouring out, bubbling up like a spring. We as a people, though, are distracted by being busy with our activities, by bombs from attacking adversaries, by the burdens of the affairs of this life, and by beliefs that are atheistic. Mankind is distracted from God's glory by the contraction from his conflicts, the satisfaction of his sin, the satisfaction of his selfishness, and the satisfaction of his sensuality, by the attraction of allurements and temptations, by the subtraction of his security and his serenity, by the reactions of those who resist, and by the transactions of the temporal, the business affairs of life. We do not see the glory of God. We do not meditate on the glory of God when it is gushing forth and pouring out and bubbling up. Nevertheless, men are without excuse when it comes to not knowing the Lord. The heavens loudly and consistently declare the glory of God. In Romans 1:20, we see the glory of God spoken about. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Man knows of the power of the Godhead. They're without excuse. The defiant attitude of men is illustrated in the story, which took place during the French Revolution. Jean Pont Saint André, a revolutionist, said to a peasant, "I will have all of your steeples pulled down, and you may no longer have any object by which you may be reminded of your old superstitions." The peasant wisely replied, "But you cannot help leaving us the stars." But you cannot help leaving us the stars. That revolutionist would have been wise to obey Job 37:14. "Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Brothers and sisters, we need to consider the wondrous works of God, for they gush forth, pour out, bubble up like a spring, the glory of God. We are to consider the wondrous works of God. Do you consider the wondrous works of God? Do you meditate upon the wondrous works of God? For man has been fascinated with the stars and the heavens since the dawn of creation. Lord Byron called the stars the poetry of heaven. Longfellow called them the forget-me-nots of the angels. Shakespeare spoke of them as the blessed candles of the night. The fascination of men with the stars and the planets of the heavens is seen in the names of the days of the week, which are named after the planets. The names are Germanic names that the English continue to use. Sunday, the sun's day, or Sol's day. Sol was the Roman god of the sun. Monday, the moon's day, or Luna's day. Luna was the Roman goddess of the moon. Tuesday, or Mars-day. Teu was the Germanic god of war, which corresponded to the Roman god Mars. Mars is the angry red planet. Wednesday, Woden's day, or Mercury's day. Woden, or Odin, is sometimes described as the supreme Germanic god, which sounds like the Roman god Jupiter. However, early Germanic tribes associated Woden with the Roman god Mercury. Thursday, Thor's day. Thor was the Germanic god of thunder and lightning. Freya's day, Friday. Freya's day, or Venus day. Freya was the Germanic goddess of love and beauty, corresponding closely to the Roman goddess Venus. Saturday, Saturn's day. Saturn was the Roman god of agriculture and of time. What do we get from all of this? What do we find ourselves looking at? Do we look at the Roman gods? Or do we say the heavens declare the glory of God? The firmament shows his handiwork. The firmament is the atmosphere enveloping the earth in which the clouds hang and the birds fly. For example, see God's handiwork in the water cycle. Water weighs 800 times more than air. Yet to have rain, it must be lifted against the force of gravity, held in suspension above the earth, moved to a definite location, and brought back down as rain or snow. An estimated 16 million tons of water falls to the earth every second, according to scientists. God's handiwork can be seen everywhere. The declaration of the heavens is not only consistent, but it is also comprehended. Verse 3 tells us there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The glory of God. God is consistent. God can be comprehended. In the Hebrew, this verse 3 reads, no speech, no language, their voice is not heard. The italicized words of the translators change the message of the verse. The universe may not have language of lip or voice, but it is not speechless. Creation speaks every language and clearly illustrates the hand of God's work. Brothers and sisters, do you not see the hand of God's work in his creation? Men and women have an uncanny ability, though, to reject the obvious or the plain truth. The heavens declare the glory of God, yet man rejects this obvious and plain truth. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day they utter its speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. The glory of God, consistent, it is to be comprehended. As I said, man has an uncanny ability to reject the plain truth. Romans 1, verses 18 to 22 is crystal clear of this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because, verse 19, Romans 1, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The atheist has no excuse. You listening today, you have no excuse. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are with excuse My friend, you will have no excuse that day when you appear before Almighty God. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. You will have no excuse, for the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. As I said, Romans 1 says that they are without excuse. Continuing in verse 21 of Romans 1, because that when they knew God, notice, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They glorified him not, neither were thankful. If you deny God, who are you thankful to? For all that you receive day after day. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what God Almighty says to you today who deny him. The declaration of heaven are not only consistent and comprehended, they are also colossal. Verse 4 of Psalm 1 tells us, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the Son. The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, translates the word line as the word voice. A copyist mistake when one of the Hebrew letters would change the translation from voice or sound to the word line. Notice what Paul says in Romans 10:18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The heavens, it says in Psalm 19, are a tent for the sun. The message of God's handiwork is colossal. It goes to the end of the world. It is comprehensive. It is consistent. It is to be comprehended. The universe is mind-boggling, revealing the majesty of God Almighty. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, is so vast that it would take 100,000 light years to cross it. A light year is the distance that light travels in 1 year, which is 6 trillion miles. It would take 10 billion years to reach the farthest point that we can see with the telescope. The closest sun to our own sun is Alpha Centauri, which is 25 trillion 300 billion miles away. How vast! How vast is our universe and the works of Almighty God? Notice what Isaiah says in chapter 40. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who? God Almighty. This is the God that we have to deal with, brothers and sisters. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Isaiah 40, verses 21 and 22. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard, declares the Lord? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he, God Almighty, that sits above the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Brothers and sisters, this is our God. This is the one now that we cry out, Abba, Father. This is the omnipotent God, the supreme God, the glorious God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Do you know of his glory? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Brothers and sisters, why do we fear? Why do we doubt? Can God deal with our circumstances? Does he not know what's going on in our life? But far too often, whereas the disciples, when they were out on the sea and the storm was approaching, and then the storm raised up the storm on the sea that day, and the boat was going to be swamped by the waters. The men were terrified in the boat that day. But yet the whole time, Christ was in the boat with them. He had told them, let us go to the other side. He had told them their final destination. But yet when they saw the storms, they feared, they trembled, they doubted. And yet Christ was in the boat the whole time. And yet here, this Jewish carpenter from 2,000 years ago, they woke him up. He got up in the boat and said to the storm, peace, be still. And the storm became still. The storm became still. And the disciples marveled, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this that could say to the heavens that declare the glory of God and the firmament and the storms and the sea, peace, be still? Brothers and sisters, this is our God. This is our God. Christ declares the glory of God. The Son of righteousness, the S-O-N, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, the Son of righteousness. And for all of us that have come to Christ with our sins, he has become sin for us, and we have become the righteousness of God. Do you consider this truth? Do you meditate on this truth? Do you glory in this truth? The one that has made the heavens has become sin for us, and we have become the righteousness of God. That was for the children of God. Now, my friend, if you're not a child of God, Jesus Christ would say to you today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. If I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto myself. Jesus Christ declares the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament declares the glory of God. And not only the heavens, but Jesus Christ himself declares the glory of God. He says, no one can come to the Father but through me. The God that I have just spoken about for this short time, in this message, Christ says, no one can come to the Father but through me. And yet Jesus Christ would invite you to come today with your sin, with your rebellion, with your denial of God, to come to him today for salvation. For the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Now those verses declare the power of the Godhead, but they don't speak of the grace of God. What I've just spoken to you is the grace of God. Come unto me. This is Christ speaking. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Do you not know that the scripture says that apart from Christ, we are without strength, enemies and sinners, powerless, enemies of God. But yet Christ declares salvation from sin. Jesus Christ has come to save those that are lost. Come today to Jesus Christ. And in coming to Christ, you will be declaring the glory of God.